Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse. This is Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Natto. Saturdays at the Spa is brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, New York's premier wagering site. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The new Capital Mobile app. Wager anywhere, anytime. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play. And Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Good morning and welcome to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you on just a glorious day here at Saratoga. It's Anthony Mormino and I talked a little bit on the handicappers report. It kind of reminds me of closing weekend. The humidity's gone. Temperature's beautiful. It's four-star Dave day, as I mentioned. Also Saratoga special day as well. So hope to see you out here on what is kind of the middle of the meet. I said it's kind of the soft spot on the curve here as we dawn in on Alabama next week and then certainly Travers. And can't believe it, 2 weeks' time, but we've got the Saratoga special today, and it's going to bring me right away. I've got Pat Cummings coming on at 10:20, Thoroughbred Idea Foundation, and one of the good guys, one of the hard workers in racing for the horse player and as well as the owners. And then 10:40, Eddie Keneally's going to stop by. He's got Noose in the Saratoga special, but my first guest has got Tuggle in the Saratoga special. I bring in Jeremiah Engelhart. Jeremiah, pleasure to have you. Thanks for making the time on Saturdays at
Brian, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good meet so far.
Yeah, so far. We're halfway there. Yeah. We got to finish off strong, but so far, so good.
Yeah, the barn has come out firing. Did you feel coming into Saratoga, obviously you've had a strong Belmont meet, but building into Saratoga, I mean, you're just throwing out two-year-old winners, debut winners. Everything seems to be hitting on all cylinders. Did you feel coming up to Saratoga in the middle of July like you were poised for a break? I don't want to say breakthrough. You've been here long enough now where, you know, you're not a new name anymore, but that you really would take the next level. The horses are running.
Yeah, coming out of the two-year-old sales and some of the yearlings that we had coming in, turning to, I really thought that we had a shot to have a pretty special meet, you know, from our standards. And right now it's kind of even exceeded that. You know, I did start a few more at Belmont this spring just to kind of give them that one start to move forward into Saratoga. But, so far it's been a pretty nice meet. We still have, you know, a bunch of more two-year-olds to go.
We'll get to them. We've got to get some names before let you go. We always want two-year-old names. But you mentioned Tuggle, and he's front and center today in the Saratoga special for the coach, for Bill Parcells. Yep. We're going to bring up footage of the Belmont win as he's entering the far turn here at Belmont, a debut winner, which has kind of proven to be a theme up here for you. He's down inside doing it the hard way here on debut. What did you expect going into this race? I mean, you see he was favored. What was your expectations going in?
Well, it was an off the turf 2 year old race, and we were going to run regardless because he was training okay on the dirt. I wasn't really sure what to expect. He was working well, but I had some other colts that were kind of just outworking him a little bit. But what he has, he's got a lot of grit, and I really like this effort. Luis did a great job getting him away from the gate, getting him out there. And he ran from start to finish. And, you know, in today's race, too, there's other speed as well. But I know that he has the ability to do whatever we ask him to do.
He did run hard, as you mentioned. And I would think you were probably in a weird sort of way. I mean, you run these precocious two-year-olds down at Belmont. They outbreak the field by two lengths. They win by five. Yeah. It's probably not getting a lot out of it. Yeah. He showed down there at Belmont that he's racehorse.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, sometimes the horses just end up being quicker than the other ones away from there. And that, you know, whether it's the kickback or being around more horses than normal, you know, the horses behind usually don't handle it as well as the horses that are in front. But he's, since then, like last week, we worked him with Pat on the back and let him sit off Pat on the back about 2-3 lengths and let him close into him. And he handled that really well. Okay. I was actually really that work to me was kind of solidified that, you know what, he's moving forward, he's going to be a horse.
You mentioned there is a lot of speed today, inside, outside. So, I mean, going in today, I mean, you just tell Luis, play it off the break, but you said you feel like if it develops that way, he can settle?
Yeah, I feel like, that was one of my main reasons for working him last week like that.
Pat on the back, if the folks you're not aware, very seasoned, older New York Red Stakes horse. Yeah.
And that's usually why we'll work the babies with the older horses, is just to kind of, we know that the older horses are going to go on in their work, and if the baby can, approach them and, stay with them, it's usually a really good sign.
Okay. I mentioned Tuggle for the coach, Bill Parcells. We've got a lot to talk about. First off, how did that relationship develop, and how did he come into your barn? I mean, 40 under was one of a good stakes winner for you. How did that all take place that you finally got some horses for Bill?
Well, I was recommended to him by a few people, and we just kind of met out here at Saratoga, and he started talking to me about certain things, and one thing led to another, and he wanted to make a change, and he brought the horses over to my barn. So for me, growing up a Giants fan having him as one of my idols, it's been a great relationship for me. Not only just from the personal standpoint, but what he adds to the business.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because I'm a lifelong Giants fan that stands 2 feet from the TV every Sunday and yells and screams as I watch every game with my dad, but just picking up your phone and seeing Bill Parcells is calling you. I mean, could you, you're watching the Super Bowl in 1990 or what have you. And if somebody told you that, fast forward, that's got to be kind of a weird, surreal, kind of neat feeling.
It's funny. When he called me originally, I didn't have his number saved in my phone, and it came up 214, a Texas area code, and I didn't answer right away. And then when I got the voicemail, it was one of those, like, I kept on my phone for a long time, and then I accidentally erased it one day. But no, it was I always give them a little bit. I'm like, oh, you can't have the New York area code or Jersey area code.
Right.
You got to have the Dallas Cowboys area code.
Geez. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I wanted to make sure you were a Giants fan, because I know obviously the Western New York and Finger Lakes ties, and that oddly enough was, I think, the only New York team he wasn't involved in, the Bills out there. But there's a lot of a story, excuse me, with Tuggle, too. If you're not familiar, I'll just brief it, and then you can pick it up from there. Tuggle was, Mr. Irrelevant in the 1983 NFL draft, John Tuggle, and that's the last player chosen in the draft. And back then, I believe, was the 12th round, and he ended up making the team and was one of the Giants' best special teams players, and Bill formed a bond with him, and sadly, just a few years later, passed away with a rare form of cancer. So how did it all go down that he wanted to name a horse, this, and I don't want to say pressure, but you wanted to pick a good horse, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Well, this particular horse was picked by Robbie Medina.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny story is, I think it was...
Who works with Shug. Right?
Yeah. The Chad was the one that I think told him he should name a horse after, John Tuggle. And from the way I get it, he was going to go to Chad, but I was lucky enough to get him.
Okay.
So, Chad and I can always have a couple of laughs, when he saw the horse was in and after he won and stuff like that. But it's to train a horse that, was named after one of his, favorite players, and not just for the way he played, but, for who he was. It's special. And, the horse kind of reminds me of probably the way that he was. He's a gritty horse. He puts a lot into practice. And he might not be the Lawrence Taylor as far, right?
Yeah.
And he's gritty. So it'd be really special today if we were lucky enough to win the Saratoga Special.
So we'll look at that a little later. As you mentioned, a lot of the precociousness now starts to wear off on these 2 year olds, and you kind of really find out what you have. A tough field, but Tuggle certainly a leading contender. We've got a lot of other horses to talk about, though. One we don't have, actually, that I just won, Philly Dilly, one that you own yourself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know your family, you see a lot of these horses, and we'll talk about the gold squares and those kind of horses, but you do have ownership in a lot of these horses, and I believe this was solely Jeremiah Englehart. Right?
Yeah, yeah. This is a filly that I own. Travis Durr bought her for me in the October 2017 FASIC sale, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, she's been a little bit of a project her two-year-old year, and she's finally settling down now. We're going to look to maybe, you know, run her an allowance race towards the end of the meet.
Okay.
But she seems like she's, you know, still doing pretty well and looking forward to that next start.
The first one we're going to bring up here is My Italian Rabbi winning the Stillwater over a very, very heavy favorite. We'll pick it up entering the far turn in and just pretty much an all-out war from the get-go.
Yeah, this was a pretty special race. I mean, I know how good Fierce Lady is. She wasn't really brought into the race probably the way Dermot wanted to bring her in, you know, being in the sale. But I always thought, you know, this is another filly that just kind of works hard. She's never the most flashiest horse, but she always puts it on the line, from whether it was her first race or this race right here. You know, her first race was on a double back break racetrack, and she kind of didn't get a fast time, so she got a slow number from it. But she was a lot better than that race, you know, was in her first start. She was much better than mm-hmm. that performance.
Will we see her up here again? Or
yeah, we'll probably run her in the Seek and the Annie.
On the Friday before
yeah,
the
23rd. Yeah.
Race. Okay. The next one, well, Risky Mischief, certainly the word was out on her, apparently, or him, excuse me. We're going to pick him up a half mile to the wire here. Just an awesome debut.
Yeah, she was a filly that just, she's been very professional. Again, she's on a fast sealed racetrack, so she doesn't necessarily get the flashy time or number leaving the race. But the way she did it, she's just been one of those fillies that from day one, she's been right. She's, you know, I worked with My Italian Rabbi. Mm-hmm. They kind of finished together, and she galloped out a little bit better and had maybe a little bit more horse. But she's one that I think could make that next step into open company, so we'll probably point her towards the spin away.
Are you at the point now where, I mean, you've got to separate these horses. You've got so many that are winning and that are, you know, it normally would, you know, if one horse in the barn, you're going to this spot. Now you've got a lot of horses now. You've got to be diligent and move around a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of planning that goes into it. You know, the Naira tracks are usually my home tracks,
right,
as far as where I want to run. But, you know, you don't really want to run horses together, but at the same time, you know, there's going to be occasions
sure.
when they're going to have to. So that'll be one race where, you know, the spin away will be a race where we have two fillies in it.
Okay.
If we get there with Risky Mischief and Sweet Kisses.
Daphne Moon is the other one for another gold square horse. Really impressive on debut. And she was very professional because she didn't really break. We're going to pick it up around the half mile pole. She didn't really break. She's looping here on the outside, settled early, and just really picked him off. Really impressive debut.
Yeah, I was expecting, I thought she would run well. I wasn't expecting her to be as professional and handle everything the way she did. She's just, I tell you, she's a dream to work with. I always kid with Jose, I'm like, this is going to be the next Elite. You know, this is what I imagine her to be. You know, Elate's a big, strong, mm-hmm. dark bay or brown filly. This filly is the same way. And I was kind of surprised. I know Cairo Prince doesn't get a lot of first out 2-year-old winners, but as they've been getting older, they've been getting better as well. So hopefully she has a really bright future.
For my money, Frasier's one of my all-time favorite shows. Where did the... Obviously, I'm assuming that she's named after that. What happened there?
Al was... I think he's a genius when it comes to names, like Wendell Fong, Daphne Moon, Put the Glass Down, Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo.
Yeah, that's a good
one. He's really talented when it comes to naming horses.
If you're not familiar, Daphne Moon is the... physician/housekeeper, soon to be husband of Niles on Frasier.
Yeah.
So I love that show. But we talked a little bit. Obviously, you're, you know, based at Finger Lakes for a while, but you're now in Schuylerville.
Yeah,
we picked the family up and moved to Schuylerville.
Yeah, last fall we moved to Schuylerville.
So what is life like here? I mean, do you get out? You're still running horses, obviously, at Finger Lakes. What is the the schedule like? I mean, do you get out there a couple days a week?
I've been out to Finger Lakes probably three times this spring and summer. You know, during Saratoga, I'm pretty much here. Might make a trip down to Belmont a time or two. Then when Belmont starts back up, I'll have to start, you know, making my trips down there weekly. Mm-hmm. But for, you know, during this meet, it's basically here with the horses here.
And then they'll be here until the track closes, basically, in November?
Yeah, yeah, we'll keep a string here, about 40 to 50 horses, right till November.
Schuylerville's a cool place, too. I grew up fishing there on the river. My dad, it's a beautiful area
down there. Yeah, it's been a great move. The kids have adjusted really well. School's great.
Big family, right?
Yeah, I have five kids, so three boys, two girls, and just started helping coach the boys in football this year in flag football. So
I know you're a busy guy, huh? And the family, I always see the pictures and social media and stuff like that. It looks like you guys have a good time. We talked to, if you got to see the Mets game last night, it's going to be a little tough on a trainer, right?
I was so disappointed. I fell asleep. I got so many text messages that when I woke up at like 1:30, 2 o'clock this morning, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I missed it. But it's so much fun. I mean, it's such a good clubhouse, a good group of guys, and it's, I mean, when you get excited for a team like this, it's a lot of fun.
I joked with my guys yesterday. We were at the paddock bar for the, you know, late races, and it was like, we're supposed to go watch a Mets game tonight? It's August August 9th. Like August 8th.
Are they playing the Yankees?
Wait, what? So yeah, it's a good time. It's coming around finally. Do you ever talk with the coach about football? I mean, memories.
Yeah, there was times just the other day at the races, we were watching, he used to tell me a story about throw it to Zeke.
Zeke Moa?
Yeah, and we watched the race. It was Kansas City playing in New York. I think it was one of the first years he had a shot to get to the playoffs.
Okay.
And Phil Simms wasn't having a great game, and he just went to him and said, listen, just throw it to Zeke. And then next thing you know, Zeke Moat's got like eight catches for 100 yards, two touchdowns, and they end up winning the game against Kansas City. But I watched that on YouTube. But, you know, we talk about the similarities as far as his players to my horses and kind of him trying to find players in the draft that are like his old players, you know, and we try to do it with the horses. So there are a lot of similarities between the two.
Yeah, because I know your clientele and the horses have advanced a little bit, but you know, typically, you're not at the sales buying $600,000 yearlings. Lower level, secondary tier kind of. So you've got to pick out those kind of horses.
I get a lot of help from Travis Durr, who owns Webb Carroll's Training Center.
Okay.
And between him and I and Phil Hager, he's helped a little bit too here recently. You know, they'll go through and shortlist horses for me to look at, and then I, you know, go and look at it with them. And it's just been a good team. And, you know, Phil has clients that he buys for. And I think collectively as a whole, we're buying, you know, better horses. It doesn't necessarily mean they have to be the million-dollar horses, but there's horses out there. You have to have a little bit of an imagination if you're trying to buy for 100 or less, you know, and make them into a good horses, because there's so many people out there that are very good at buying horses.
And I'm assuming you'll be active tomorrow and Monday.
I was supposed to meet him over there at 9 o'clock this morning, but I had a meeting with Brian.
Took a little while. I've got apparently a little pull. So, Jeremiah, I really appreciate you making the time.
Anytime, Brian. Thank you.
We've got a $100 gift certificate for Pinnell's.
Oh, nice.
I know you know where that is.
Yes, I do.
Right over here across the street, and they've been a great supporter of OTB over the years. So enjoy that. I don't know. You might have to just get Cokes and water, I think, with that. If you're bringing the whole, family, I don't know.
But, listen, no, this will be good. We'll definitely enjoy it. I appreciate it.
Or at least call in advance for a reservation if you're bringing the whole crew. Jeremiah Englehart, thanks a ton for stopping
thanks,
by.
Thanks, Brian.
Good luck in the Saratoga special. Good luck for the rest of the meet.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's going to bring us to our first break here on Saturdays at the Spa. Special thanks to Jeremiah for taking the time. We know how tough it is to get over here on a Saturday morning, so thanks. Appreciate that. We're going to go to the break here. When we come back, Pat Cummings, Thoroughbred Idea Foundation, going to join us. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
It's a global series. The best racers from all over the world, the best trainers, the best jockeys.
You can get a free entry into the Breeders' Cup, and everybody wants to run in a Breeders' Cup race.
You get your travel expenses paid for the Breeders' Cup.
Automatic berth takes a lot of pressure off.
If we're considering two different races, and one was a win and you're in, and one was not, that would be the tiebreaker.
It's probably the best thing that's happened to racing in the last 10 years.
Breeders' Cup Challenge, win, and you're in.
Welcome back to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you, four-star Dave Day here at Saratoga. Big special thanks to Jeremiah Engelhardt for stopping by, as you mentioned. It's a busy time, busy guy up here, winning races, and he's got a lot going on. The sales are this weekend, New York bred sales on Saturday and Sunday, and Jeremiah is a firm supporter of the New York breds and has had a lot of success, so we appreciate him stopping by. I bring in my next guest, who I appreciate stopping by as well. Pat Cummings, Executive Director of the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation, all around good guy, as you said, you better say that too. And I firmly, wholeheartedly agree with that. And I tongue in cheek joke that pretty much the mayor of everything wherever you are, holding court at King Umberto's or just doing what you're doing. PC, thanks for stopping by.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be back in Saratoga. I never spend enough time here, but the time I do is fantastic.
Well, give a little background of Pat Cummings, because you said it's great to be back in Saratoga. Not all that long ago, you were not anywhere near Saratoga.
Yeah.
You've had a well-versed racing career.
Yeah, so last year I was here, and I had just gotten back from 3 years in Hong Kong. Had a tremendous experience there, basically running the racing media operations, which was a fantastic experience. And, you know, the racing is so intense. 25,000 people a day, world's largest tote pools basically per capita. It's a really interesting racing experience. And one of the things that I did there as part of my duties was to be involved in sitting with the stewards during inquiries and basically after every race meeting, where the adjudication of racing in Hong Kong is just so on a rail tight.
Okay.
And
for better or worse?
Well, it depends on your opinion, but the way that Kim Kelly, who's the chief steward of Hong Kong, he and a group of international stewards are in Saratoga this week. I just saw him outside walking around.
Can we get him on the clock?
We could. We could. We'll talk about that. But he had said there was a race, a void race, because of a starting gate malfunction, and they refunded $22 million.
Wow.
And the horse that won was about 3-5. And he won clear. And actually, one of his gates in the race was one of the ones that was affected. He actually went on to be a Group 1 winner. He said, I gave back $22 million, a 3-5 favorite won the race, and nobody complained.
Yeah.
Not a single person. It was an expectation that when something like this were to happen, that the stewards did the right thing. Okay. But my experience there and in what we've done with the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation,
right,
advocating for kind of sound solutions.
Yeah, talk a bit, before we get into the nuts and bolts here, talk a little bit about what exactly that is. I know you're very at the forefront for the gambler, for the horse player, the owners as well. What are you guys, trying to accomplish out there for the better and the owners.
Serving essentially as an independent voice, privately funded, that is effecting change through a variety of sound policies that will affect the owner and the gambler,
okay.
The two optional financial participants
yeah.
in the sport. We need more of both,
yes,
and we need them all to be doing more. Unfortunately, that is not the direction of the metrics of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to change, and this is a sport that is routinely averse to change for a lot of reasons. And when change does come, typically it comes very slowly.
Right.
So the only thing that happens with any great speed is the running of the races or the hyping of the next great horse. So we've identified a couple topics, elements related to improving the pricing mm-hmm. of racing and racing bets, lowering takeout, shifting the breakage dialogue, although it's worth saying that the state of New York has by far the most fan-friendly, better-friendly breakage mm-hmm. policy in America.
And for people not in the loop, talk a little bit breakage.
So if you bet a race in at Saratoga today and the winner is 2-1, you might get $6.10 back. But you make that bet at Parks or Laurel or just about any other track in the U.S. Woodbine's different because of a currency conversion thing they have. You would get $6.20 or $6, mm-hmm. okay? At Naira would be the only place you're getting $6.10. So it's actually every other track you're getting $6. Because under $10 returns, they round down to the nearest 10 cents on every $2 as opposed to every 20 cents, which is the standard. So we've been advocating for that, and we're actually trying to get New York to liberalize that policy a little bit more.
The front and center is the stewards, and we've talked yeah. about it a little bit, but now we're getting into the facts kind of here, and talk a little bit about the Category 1, the Category 2. I know that's definitely, especially with all these DQs, non-DQs, disqualifications, non-disqualifications, exactly what they are and what, frankly, what we really need to see.
So we've taken the issue of transparency,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to tell a story about how we need to be more transparent as a sport through the stewards. And there are rules, and then there are philosophies.
Right.
And in every state has a different set of rules and different wording within those rules that will affect how the stewards are looking at a race. But the basic philosophy that's in place in North America is what is known as Category 2. And it's everything that a customer that has been DQ'd at some point in time has expected. A horse was interfered with, and the stewards determine that it affected the finish in some way, and that horse is placed behind mm-hmm. the horse that they affected. The problem with that philosophy is that it does not necessarily promote the concept of the best horse, that the best horse was treated that way on the day. And there are countless examples of this. But due to the fault of either the horse behaving, misbehaving, and the jockey not correcting it fast enough, or the action of the jockey to direct the horse in a way which was unsafe, instead of just penalizing the jockey, the owner, trainer, jockey, breeder, any of the owners down the line,
big
the lineage of
down.
Horses,
yeah.
and certainly the bettors. And if the bettors can't have confidence that when they bet on a horse that may have won by 5 lengths,
right.
that horse is getting taken down for a reason that seems very specious, knowing that no horse was going to be that one on that
yeah.
day, he may have caused some interference, but why are we penalizing
right.
everyone, particularly in a sport where handle is down almost 50%
right.
adjusted for inflation over
and
the last 15 years?
We've got a video of, I think, the one that is we're going to show
yep.
Cristal here on August 4th, and this is the front and center argument yep. for just outrage. She's going to be looping here and wins for absolute fun for John Kimmel at, I believe,
41-1. But who's counting?
Yeah.
Now, let's not consider the odds here or the jockeys involved at all. So it's the 3 horse on the outside who's going to come and win. A lot of people have seen this. The 5 and the 8 are going to get affected here. The 3 is winning this race any day of the week and twice on Sunday. Very impressive performance. He caused the 5 to check briefly
mm-hmm.
and the 8 to the jockey on the 8 really made a move
yes.
to steady.
Some
steady. Would say it was maybe a little
here
dramatic.
You see it here, the head on.
So we'll see Cristal is going to come over in that black and white pinwheel cap, third from the left. is where the greatest effect is felt. Maybe a little bit much there. But the reason that the stewards made the demotion is because the five caught the eight on the line right. for second. And in their opinion, and based on the rules, that altered the finish. Okay. If the eight wins that photo for second, you bet that 41-1 chance you're getting paid out.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that is a highly unfortunate situation. And it is the standard in America. It has been for many years. And nowhere else in the world, bar Canada and Turkey, would that horse have
right.
been demoted.
And I've always said you need to protect the betting public. I think it was Clarissa Landeros or whoever, yep. give them a few
it
days.
Was.
Or if that's what's yep. warranted. We're going to bring up Cuddle Kitten in race yep. one on last Sunday. We're going to look at the head on here. This goes on a lot in New York and kind of the herding, and we're going to see that. No DQ here, but we do see this a lot. And I think this is another thing that people get mad at because it's like, yes on Monday, no on Tuesday, yes on Wednesday, no on Thursday
right.
kind
so,
of thing.
So what
we're on the backstretch here. We'll see it shortly.
You're identifying is the general inconsistency that exists from panel to panel. And that's really what we're talking about when we show you what the new rule is and what it could be. These situations, people want to blame the stewards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ted Hill, Dr. Ted Hill, who has been the Jockey Club steward at NYRA yesterday, said, I don't like the rules. You know, and he's been adjudicating here in this state and at Saratoga for decades.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like the rules. Doesn't think they're good. He thinks there's a better alternative. But he says, these are the rules I have to adjudicate on.
Well, right.
And the argument is, the stewards aren't themselves inconsistent. The rules
sure.
enable them to make inconsistent judgment calls.
Right. And here...
Yeah, here you have two horses that have, you know, one has kind of directed the other out on a couple occasions here without ever touching. The stewards on some occasions could believe that action yielded a result that altered the finish.
Yeah, it is an intimidation yeah, sure. Move, correct?
And it is, and based on the rules, if they think that changed the end result, they
right.
could make a demotion. But the international standard and what we're advocating for, known as Category 1,
mm-hmm.
would dramatically change that.
Okay.
So instead of determining, did this alter the finish in some way, shape, or form, the stewards have to make one assessment. Just take a look at the horses that are involved in the incident. And say, if not for that incident, would the horse that was aggrieved have finished in front of the horse that caused mm-hmm. the interference? If they can't say with certainty that would have happened,
right.
there's no change.
And these are, one of my biggest problems with all this is, these are professionals that know what they're doing. We should give them the leeway to do that.
Yeah.
You know, common sense needs to prevail. Let's pull up the... You know, this we could have 3 hours on this, but let's pull up the Kentucky Derby. We all know what happened with Maximum Security and War of Will and all that kind of stuff. Here's Luis Saez on the lead, War of Will down inside. Something
came up very interestingly the other day in the international harmonization meeting that was held here with stewards from around the world who were here in Saratoga, who said that in some of their jurisdictions, if a horse's position by the result of an inquiry or objection does not put them in a place where they can get prize money,
yeah,
meaning they're finished so far
out.
The
Derby pays down to fifth, I believe?
Yeah, okay. They do not allow the objection.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, in the Derby this year, the upheld objection was Long Range Toddie against Maximum Security.
It was 17th.
So I think what we need to think about this is that Maximum Security goes on to win by nearly two lengths. On this day, he is very clearly the best horse. There's no argument about that. The first demotion of a winner in the history of the Kentucky
yeah.
Derby for interference in the race happened because the stewards rightly believed that Long Range Toddie may have finished 16th
right.
instead of 17th. That is a debilitating decision
yeah.
for the public, for the casual fan, for the professional punter, for anyone who is associated with this sport to say, we're going to take the Kentucky Derby away from you because of the interference that was caused to a horse who will gain absolutely nothing by us upholding this objection. And the international standard, and some of these foreign stewards were very clear yesterday that just because every other jurisdiction in the world has come over to this method, there's no reason to say that we should adopt it too.
Well, that was going to be, you know, my next question to you. It sounds all great. It sounds like people are responsive to it. It sounds like guys like you and I, and probably everyone else out there, are certainly responsive to it. Does it matter? Is anything happening?
I do believe there is a lot of momentum.
Okay.
So the beauty of social media is that you can see these incidents time and time again, over and over.
Better or worse of social media. This in this instance, the good.
And I think we are building a case and have been building a case for some time. And there are very clearly some American stewards who have said, I prefer the Category 1 approach. It's going to make the job of the steward easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. We want a more consistent approach for customers, something that will be better for bettors and owners and trainers and everyone that's involved with the horse that's understandable. And it should also be noted that there is a provision in this model rule that if American jurisdictions were to adopt it, very clearly states that if the jockey that's involved does something dangerous, and the International Committee yesterday was actually putting a definition in of specifically what dangerous riding means, then you can pull that horse out and throw them out all together.
So there's
so if there's a win at all costs mentality, that
there's
a provision for
there.
That. Correct.
Okay.
So I think we're making some advances. It's not going to be easy. Woodbine has indicated that they might be interested in taking the lead on a continental basis. I've heard from some other tracks that are interested in pushing this forward. But it's a process. Regulators are involved. The thing is, we have to change regardless. The situation that is facing the customers of this sport, the confidence-zapping experiences they have day in and day out. Last night, Del Mar, eighth race,
I heard
five-and-a-quarter-length winner is demoted because he veered out to the right at the start. Jock reaches over and pulls him across. He overcorrects, comes into a horse 20, 50 feet out of the gate, wins by 5 1/4.
Byron's racing again?
and thrown out. So
no, he's not.
The status quo is untenable.
Right.
There's a need to make some changes. There is a better way forward. We're advocating for it. And for anyone that wants to read more, racingthinktank.com.
Yeah. We've got
our reports up there. And next week, we're going to come out with a follow-up to our report that talked about changing the rules. That breaks down the incident in the Kentucky Derby, identifies some of the mistakes or oversights that were made, and some of which are not the fault of the current stewards or the regulators, but are just symptomatic of a multiple decade ignorance of modifying and staying on top of where our rules are as a sport. And Brian, to be fair, when I came back from Hong Kong, I was there 3 years. It was a tremendous experience. My, you know, go away and come back opinion is that we generally don't take our sport seriously enough. We love it. We love the horses. We take care of the horses incredibly well. But from the actual operation of the race, if you look at the rule books across this country, they are a disaster. They are a mess up, down, left, and right. Lots of variants. What is a foul in New Jersey might not be upheld in New York. And I'm sorry, but in a simulcasting and a commingling pool environment, that's just wrong. There are ways to fix it.
And it gets back to the central idea that we could do 8 hours on, that we need a governing body in this sport. I mean, at the end of the day, under some kind of...
That would have benefits.
Yeah.
Okay? It would also potentially just take so long and take so much out of the sport that the madness might drive people away.
Yeah.
But take what we have, the situation with individual states and the rights that they have to run racing and control their sport. We just have to do that better. And we've ignored some of the real basics around racing for far too long. There is a chance to make it better. And look, I'm hopeful because it's what I do day in and day out that there is some change that's forthcoming. But it's not just us to get out there and advocate it. We need operators, regulators, stewards to say, how can we make this better? Yeah. And there is an opportunity to do that. I'm hopeful. I'm a naturally optimistic person, but I think we're starting to make some positive change.
Really quickly, we got 30 seconds. We're up against it on time. Eddie Keneally is going to join us shortly. I'm selling you a little short because this is front and center. We want to talk about this. You're one heck of a handicapper as well. Just quickly, any opinions today? Any thoughts today? I know you're...
Four-star Dave. I've been a little frustrated lately with the way that pace has played out in turf races. When it looks like there's seven speed horses on paper and none of them go to the lead, and it's a bit of a grab fest. I don't know what's going on, but there looks like there's some decent speed in this four-star Dave with Gidu, I think, has to go.
From out there.
The Barkley tag runner. Dr. Edgar has to go. He'll be right in the mix. But Astilio, the Simon Crisford runner, all reports settled in very well. He likes to go and race forwardly. He had a very good three-year-old season. I'm not sure what's happened in his two starts this year, but he's getting Lasix. Right. He has tactical speed. And you know who has not been involved in any of the machinations of the existing races this meet? Andrea Adzani. And he's coming in to ride.
Very sharp international.
And I just, yeah. I think he's going to just track in behind that speed. He has his own speed. And maybe he'll go, but I think he's an interesting horse in this spot, and so I'm probably going to end up.
Pat's as well versed on the Euro form as anybody we have in this country. So, Pat Cummings, as a gift, we'd like to give you this $100 gift certificate for Jacob and Anthony's over at 38 High Rock on the outside, right outside of town. Love it over there. We appreciate them. Pat Cummings, I appreciate you for stopping by well.
Great
Pat Cummings, Thoroughbred Idea Foundation. Check it out online. They've got a lot of good stuff on there, and they're doing a lot of the things that fans and horse players and owners can really get behind, and hopefully change is coming. So we appreciate Pat stopping by. Jeremiah Englehart to start. Second break here on Saturdays at the Spa. When we come back, Eddie Keneally is going to join us. Got a big two-year-old in the special today. Stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you. A special thanks to Jeremiah Engelhart for kicking it off. And then Pat Cummings, who's, as you kind of heard, has a lot of good ideas and doing a lot of good things for the owners and the horse players in this industry. So we appreciate him taking the time. Thoroughbred Idea Foundation. Check that out and what they're kind of doing with the hopefully maybe making some changes with the stewards, a hot topic up here. I'm happy to be joined by my next guest, Eddie Keneally, stops by on Saturdays at the Spa. Eddie, thank you. It's been a good meet so far with a couple nice two-year-olds, huh?
Yeah, so far it's going quite well, Brian. We're happy. We haven't run very many, but the ones we're running, they're running well, so no complaints.
Yeah, you mentioned you've had five first-out two-year-old winners from six starts in a second, so I'm assuming you're kind of shuttling back and forth from Ellis, too. I mean, what's your schedule like up here with Ellis kind of really ramping up their purses and putting more money into their program? Are you back and forth a little bit?
Back and forth quite a bit, and we're running a lot of horses in Kentucky. We ran quite a few two-year-olds at Churchill Downs in May and June before we got up here, and a few of them ran really well first time out. And now we're running quite a few at Ellis, and they've got a good program there. The purses are decent, and the competition wouldn't be quite as tough as what we're running against here in New York.
You mentioned the success at Churchill Downs. I mean, front and center today is Noose in the Saratoga Special down inside from the rail. We're going to bring up footage of his debut at Churchill. Very polished professional debut, I would think. Down inside, here he is at the two horse. Talk a little bit about this debut, maybe what you expected going in and the race itself.
He had trained really well up to this point, and we expected him to run a professional race first time out. And he sure did. He was trapped down on the inside for a large part of the race, but when the room opened at the 16th pole, he hit the front, and from there to the wire, he opened up by five. So that was a nice acceleration in the last part of the race. So that's kind of what we're looking for today. Hopefully something similar.
Yeah, and a pretty sharp maiden race at Churchill, too. I know you see Kowalski closing on the outside, ran well up here for Wayne Lucas earlier in the meet. So it seems like you come out of a pretty live race. I always think, you know, when I see a two-year-old in May or June that's able to sit off the pace a little bit, I always think, A, that bodes well, you know, when the precociousness of these speedy horses kind of wears off, but even going forward as well, the fact that Noose was able to settle on debut, I would think sets him up nicely in a race today. I mean, I'm sure you've looked at this race, a lot of speed, at least on paper here.
Correct. It's a running style you like. It's that's kind of what you're looking for in these young horses, horses that aren't all just speed, horse that can rate, a horse that doesn't necessarily have to be on the lead. And I think that that should bode well for us today. This race on paper looks like it's got quite a bit of speed in it. And if that materializes, I think it should favor our running style.
A homebred for Joe Sutton, who you've had success with over the years, for sure. When he came into your barn, into your program, what was he, the kind of horse that set himself apart? Did you feel like he was going to develop into this kind of horse early on? Or, well, you've mentioned you've had a lot of success for two-year-olds already at kind of the halfway point of the year. Was he one of those ones that stood out to you?
Absolutely, yeah. He trained really well since he got to us. He arrived in April into our barn at Churchill from Barry Berkelheimer, who prepped him in Ocala, Florida. Came to us and was pretty straightforward from the beginning, and had trained really well and breezed in company with several other two-year-olds that we like. So we were able to get a pretty good line on the horse before we ever ran him, and he had worked quite well on more than one occasion. And I was very happy with how he came into it, getting ready.
You mentioned all the success with the two-year-olds. Is it, you know, when you get these horses early in the year, when you get them, do you just kind of let them tell you when they're ready to run and how they develop into your program? And
just exactly right, we just we don't put the horses on any one schedule. We don't push them. As they show us that they're ready to go to the next stage of training, we've advanced with their training, and obviously some of them advance quicker than others, and we just let them come along at their own strides, and when they're ready to go into entries, we're ready. You know, we just don't push them along. They kind of naturally progress as they develop.
I guess it's a good segue to the next horse we want to talk about. And by your side, we're going to bring up footage of him winning the Saratoga Special early in the meet, which was about a month ago now. Sanford, excuse me. Here he is on the outside, and I guess he was a horse that was a little more forward in his development because obviously he entered off a win in Kentucky.
Yeah, he came to hand real quick. He also won first time out at Churchill in a pretty hot maiden contest, and just an improving horse. Came along here to Saratoga, had a hard race here, but gutted it out in the Sanford, and was drawing away at the end. And the next race is probably the hopeful if everything continues to go well. So we think he can stretch out. Distance shouldn't be a problem.
You mentioned it, pulling away at the end. To me, when I watched the replay of this race and when I watched it live, it was those last six or eight strides that really separated him, and I would think with a pedigree by constitution out of a Dixie Union mare, you've got to be excited about the future for this horse, that he's not that early season speedy precocious two-year-old. This horse seems to have his future in front of him.
Correct. I mean, he did come to hand quickly. He did run well first time out. He did come back and win a two-year-old sprint stake, but he also reminds me of a horse that could continue to improve and get better with distance. So he might even be a better horse when we go to two turns. And I think we'll be finding out here later in the fall how far he really wants to go. But so far, I'm happy with him.
You mentioned the hopeful, and I believe he worked the other day, and you're happy with it. All systems go.
Yeah, he worked last Sunday. He worked fine. He's going to work again tomorrow, Sunday, and he hasn't missed a beat since he ran here.
Another horse that showed the ability to settle off the pace too. I would think. I mean, that's, you're not necessarily known as a speed trainer and things like that. I mean, do you in the perfect world, you try to instill that in your horses to settle a little bit.
Settle a little bit, but they got to still break sharp.
Sure.
And By Your Side did break best of all in the Sanford, but Arad Ortiz rode a smart race. He allowed the speed horses to go to the lead, and he just tucked back in behind them on the outside in a stalking position. I could have been on the lead with the leaders early on if he wanted to, but he rode a smart race, and we were able to finish good.
Any, you mentioned six two-year-old debut starts this year, five winners in a second. I've got to ask you, any other names we should remember as we've got a couple weeks left in the meet? Anyone you're looking forward to unveiling?
We don't have any first-time starters penciled in to run here at this meet between now and the end. We do have a Blame filly running here on Wednesday in the Bolton Landing Stakes. She ran one time at Ellis Park, and she won first time out also. So she's making her second start here in the stake on Wednesday. So that's probably the only other two-year-old we probably think about running here before the end of the meet.
The other thing I wanted to hit on before we let you go, and I think it's one of the most under-the-radar stats, you're clucking along at about 42-44% off the claim. I don't feel like a lot of people are in the loop on that. I know you're not necessarily known as a claiming trainer. You don't claim a lot of horses. You've had a lot of success with your claims. And I always like to see you claim a horse because at least from afar, when I see Eddie Keneally claim a horse, you must really like it because, again, you're not claiming four or five a week.
We try to be selective in claiming, and a lot of the horses that I claim for myself with partners. So I've got a large stake of a lot of the claiming horses that we have in our barn. And, I think we've been fortunate. I think we're disciplined when we do claim. We don't just claim for the sake of claiming. It's my own money I'm spending. So we have to be, we're always diligent anyway.
Right,
but we don't do it often. But when we see opportunities, we try to be there and be ready to go. And we've been fortunate to win some shakes and claim some horses that developed into stake horses.
Yeah, you're claiming, it seems like, the right kind of horses as well when you're involved.
Yeah, hopefully we can keep that going. Yeah. That's an important part of the whole business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie, I really want to appreciate you stopping by. We've got a $100 gift certificate for you over at Jacob and Anthony's at 38 High Rock. right outside of downtown, and we appreciate that. $100, as I mentioned there, you see a 38 High Rock Avenue. I know it's tough to get over here on a Saturday morning with a lot going on during the summer at Saratoga. So, Eddie, thanks for taking the time, first and foremost. Best of luck today in the Saratoga
Special. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Thank you all.
It's going to bring us to our third break here on Saturdays at Saturdays at the Spa. It's been a busy day. Jeremiah Englehart to start it off, Pat Cummings as well, and then Eddie Keneally wrapping it up for us. So stay tuned. We're going to go to our third break. When we come back, we'll kind of have just a brief preview here of Four-Star Dave Day. Stay tuned.
Series.
To win one of these challenge series is a way that we kind of map out our schedule throughout the year with our horses.
If you win one of the challenge races, you have a very good horse.
The King George, which is our winning ring race, provides the top middle distance horsing in Europe. We saw Highland Reel run in both races.
We know when we show up at the Breeders' Cup, we've got the world to beat, not just everybody in the United States. Breeders' Cup Challenge, win and you're in.
Welcome back to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you. A special thanks to Jeremiah Englehart, Pat Cummings, and then just now Eddie Keneally, who's very live, I think, in the Saratoga Special today. As we talked about, anytime you have a two-year-old that can stalk and come from off the pace a little bit in these races, these early mid-season races, I think it's a big feather in your cap, because we see now, you know, Anthony Mormino and I talked in the handicapper report, we see a lot of the precociousness of these two-year-olds that are all speed and didn't really learn anything, beating lesser horses on debut, and now they've got to run a little bit, going 6.5, a lot more demanding. So I think Noose is poised to acquit himself nicely here in the Saratoga Special, and as I mentioned before the break, Four-Star Dave Day as well. A great betting race. I don't necessarily know if it's a grade one race through and through with the Wise Dans that we've seen up here over the years that helped make this a grade one race, but we've got Uni coming in for Chad, trying to take on the boys and win her sixth start. Mark Cassie wheels back, got Stormy on a week's rest. She looked phenomenal winning last week in the De La Rose, and they're taking on a solid, if unspectacular, group of males, but it leads to a great betting race for the player as well. And, you know, I had Pat Cummings on, he spoke a little bit about that, and for the benefit of the horse player, the owners as well. So it's a great day here at Saratoga. I look outside the booth here, and the weather is top-notch. No rain, I don't think. It looks like about 80 degrees. It's very reminiscent of kind of closing weekend, maybe, where the humidity seems to have died down, and you just get to enjoy a great summer up in Saratoga. So we hope to see you out here. Again, I can't say it enough. Special thanks to Jeremiah and Pat and Eddie for getting over here. It's not easy to get over here. And Teresa Gennaro as well, getting these guys to come on. Mick Richards, Brian back in the control booth as well. Johnny's on the spot today. So it will wrap up. And, of course, everybody back down in Albany, too. It's going to wrap up Saturdays at the Spa, Four-Star Dave Day. Brian Natto, enjoy it today at Saratoga.
You've been watching Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Natto. Saturdays at the Spa has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, New York's premier wagering site. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The new Capital Mobile app. Wager anywhere, anytime. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play. And Fennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.